Chapter 6. Jesus in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights, and the resurrection. The exact length of time that Jesus was in the tomb. Many prophecies in the Old Testament foretold the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The prophet Daniel foresaw that his life would be taken, Daniel 9:26. And both David and Isaiah described the suffering and humiliation that he would endure before his death, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. Other prophecies pointed to his resurrection and immortality, Psalm 16, verses 10 and 11, Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. However, there is no scripture in the Old Testament that foretold the length of time that the Messiah would be in the tomb before he was resurrected from the dead. This prophecy is found only in the gospel accounts spoken by Jesus himself. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we desire to see a sign from you." And he answered and said to them, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, in like manner the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights." Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40. Jesus spoke these words because the scribes and Pharisees did not believe in him, nor did they believe that his works of healing were done by the power of God. When they challenged him to perform a miraculous sign in their presence, Jesus did not do so. Instead, the only sign he gave them was the sign of Jonah the prophet. The fulfillment of this sign was a testimony not only to that generation, but to all future generations that he was the Messiah. The vast majority of Christians today believe that Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb on a Friday, and he was resurrected on Sunday morning. Thus, he was not in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, as he had prophesied, but for 2 nights and 1 full day. This traditional interpretation of Jesus' death and resurrection is completely contrary to the gospel accounts. Nearly all churches within Christendom have misinterpreted or rejected the scriptural record. In its place, they have adopted an ancient Babylonian religious tradition that predates the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ by thousands of years. Various theories have been advanced in an attempt to reconcile this ancient religious tradition with the scriptural accounts, but the error is clearly exposed by examining the accounts that have been accurately recorded and faithfully preserved in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel accounts do not support the traditional belief in a Good Friday crucifixion and an Easter Sunday resurrection. The facts that are recorded by the Gospel writers reveal a profoundly different time frame for the death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The scriptural definition of a day. Some have claimed that Jesus was using an idiomatic expression when he declared that he would remain in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. They teach that his words should be interpreted as referring to parts of days rather than to whole days. But when the scriptural use of the term day is examined, one finds that it is very specific. The scriptures of the Old Testament show that a day consists of an evening and a morning, Genesis 1. An entire day has two portions, the night portion, which begins at evening or sunset, and the day portion, which begins at sunrise or morning. These two consecutive periods are identified as one complete day, reckoned from sunset to sunset or evening to evening, Leviticus 23:32. According to Scripture, each day has an average of 12 hours in the night portion and 12 hours in the day portion, making a complete day of 24 hours. Jesus himself verified that the day portion is about 12 hours long when he said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" John 11:9. Jesus also spoke of the three watches of the night, which extended from sunset to sunrise and were each 4 hours long, making a total of 12 hours, Luke 12:36-38. There is no question that Jesus included a full 12 hours of daylight and a full 12 hours of night in reckoning the length of each calendar day. This scriptural method of reckoning time had been used by the Hebrews for centuries. Moreover, it is clear that Jesus and his disciples observed the Passover and the holy days of God each year, according to the determination of the Hebrew calendar as God had ordained. This is a key fact in understanding the exact length of time that Jesus was in the tomb. When the four gospel accounts are examined, it is clear that the gospel writers used the scriptural method of reckoning each day from sunset to sunset or evening to evening. Beginning 6 days before Jesus' last Passover until the day after his resurrection, the gospel writers accurately recorded all the events day by day. They took careful note of the mornings and evenings, making it possible to determine the beginning and end of each day. The fact that they meticulously noted the mornings and evenings demonstrates that these days were whole days composed of 24 hours. Nowhere do the scriptural records leave room for an interpretation of partial days or partial nights. An analysis of the phrase 3 days and three nights in the book of Jonah. Jesus' prophecy that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights is a direct reference to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, which speaks of Jonah's symbolic entombment in the belly of a great fish. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word days in this verse is translated from the Hebrew yom, and the word night is translated from the Hebrew laila. Both of these words are preceded by the cardinal number 3, which is translated from the Hebrew shalosh. This cardinal number is used as an adjective before the nouns days and nights to express a specific period of time. Other scriptural references confirm the use of cardinal numbers to record the exact duration of a condition or event. Genesis 7:4, 7 days. Genesis 7:12, 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 10:23, 3 days. Exodus 24:18, 40 days and 40 nights. Leviticus 12:4, 33 days. 1 Samuel 30:12, 3 days and three nights. 1 Kings 19:8, 40 days and 40 nights. The use of a cardinal number with the terms days and nights shows that these terms are being used in a very specific sense. The presence of the Hebrew wa, the conjunction and, between days and nights, makes the meaning of the text even more emphatic, limiting the duration of time to the exact number of days and nights that are specified. By the scriptural method of reckoning time, it takes an evening and a morning to complete one full day, Genesis 1:5. Just as the evening and the morning in Genesis 1 denote a whole day of 24 hours, so the term a day and a night denotes a full day of 24 hours. In the same way also, the expression 3 days and 3 nights denotes 3 whole days of 24 hours each. The Hebrew text leaves no room to interpret the expression 3 days and 3 nights in Jonah 1:17 in a broad or general sense. The use of this same Hebrew expression in 1 Samuel 30, verse 12, demonstrates that it is a literal period of 3 24-hour days. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. The following verse in 1 Samuel 30 uses the expression 3 days agon in reference to the period of 3 days and 3 nights. These were the words of an Egyptian who was accustomed to reckoning days from sunrise to sunrise. The use of the expression 3 days agon by the Egyptian confirms that he had completed a full 3 days and 3 nights of fasting from sunrise on the first day until sunrise on the fourth day. The literal meaning of 3 days in 1 Samuel 30:13 is confirmed by the use of the same Hebrew expression in 2 Samuel 24:13 to describe a specific duration of time, 3 days pestilence. The construction of the Hebrew text does not allow the expression 3 days and 3 nights in Jonah 1:17 to be interpreted in any manner except the literal sense of 3 24-hour days. The Hebrew terminology cannot be interpreted as an idiomatic expression that is describing incomplete units of time, such as part of a day and part of a night. To denote incomplete units of time, the Hebrew text uses a word that means to divide. This word is not found in the expression 3 days and 3 nights, either in Jonah 1:17 or in 1 Samuel 30, verse 12. However, this word is found in reference to a duration of time in Daniel 12, verse 7, a time, times, and a half a time. The word half is translated from the Hebrew word meaning to divide. Since this word is not used to describe the duration of time in Jonah 1:17 and 1 Samuel 30:12, it is evident that the Hebrew text is describing complete units of time, 3 12-hour days and 3 12-hour nights. By testifying that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, the scriptures reveal that a full 72 hours had elapsed before Jonah was cast out on the shore. The New Testament reveals that Jesus the Christ was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became a man. He was the one who caused the great fish to swallow Jonah and descend to the bottom of the sea for a period of time before swimming to the shore and depositing Jonah on the land. As the Lord God, He knew exactly how long Jonah had remained in the belly of the fish, and he inspired Jonah to record this duration of time, which was a foretelling of his future burial. There is no question concerning the length of time that passed as Jonah lay in the belly of the fish, because this fact is preserved in the scriptures of the Old Testament. Since the Hebrew text cannot be interpreted in an idiomatic sense, but must be interpreted literally, it is clear that 3 whole days and 3 whole nights passed while Jonah lay in the fish's belly. Jesus was fully aware of this fact of Scripture when he declared to the Jews, "In like manner, the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights." Matthew 12, verse 40. Jesus said that he would rise 3 days after his death. The gospel writers record that Jesus made specific statements to his disciples concerning the length of time that he would be in the tomb and when he would be resurrected. And he began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and to be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and to be killed, but after 3 days to rise from the dead. Mark 8:31, also see Matthew 16:21 and Mark 9:31. Jesus proclaimed to his disciples that he would not rise from the dead until 3 days after he had been killed. Jesus' statement that he would rise 3 days after he had died is most significant. According to Jewish law, to be declared legally dead, a person had to be dead for more than 3 full days. If someone who appeared to be dead revived and came back to life prior to 3 full days, he or she was not legally deemed to have been dead. Therefore, if Jesus had risen from the dead before 3 p.m. on the afternoon of Nisan 17, a weekly Sabbath, he would not have been considered legally dead. As a result, his return to life would not have been considered a true resurrection from the dead. Knowing this fact, one can understand why Jesus delayed going to Lazarus in the account in John 11. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick unto death, but he deliberately remained where he was for 2 more days, John 11, verse 6. He knew that Lazarus would not be considered legally dead until he had been dead for 4 days. When Lazarus was legally dead, Jesus went to resurrect him from the grave. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who had died, said to him, "Lord, he already stinks, for it has been 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you will believe, you shall see the glory of God?" Then they removed the stone from the tomb where the dead man had been laid. And Jesus lifted his eyes upward and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always. But because of the people who stand around, I say this, so that they may believe that you did send me." And after he had spoken these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had been dead came forth, his feet and hands bound with grave clothes, and his face bound up with a napkin. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." John 11, verses 39 through 44. Like Lazarus, Jesus had to remain dead for a minimum of 3 full days in order to be declared officially dead. If he had been crucified on a Friday and restored to life on Sunday morning at sunrise, his death would not have been valid, since only 2 nights and 1 day would have passed between Friday sunset and Sunday morning. In order for his death to be publicly recognized and acknowledged, it was necessary for Jesus to remain in the grave for 3 nights and 3 days before he was raised from the dead. The scriptures reveal that Jesus died at the 9th hour, or 3 p.m., on the Passover day, Nisan 14, which fell on Wednesday, April 5, in 30 A.D., Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. And he was placed in the tomb just before sunset at approximately 6 p.m. The Gospel of Matthew describes his burial by Joseph of Arimathea. And when evening was coming on, a rich man of Arimathea came, named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. After going to Pilate, he begged to have the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given over to him. And after taking the body, Joseph, with the help of Nicodemus, John 19:39, wrapped it in clean linen cloth and placed it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. And after rolling a great stone to the door of the tomb, he went away, Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. Luke records that a Sabbath was coming on, Luke 23, verse 54, which means that by the time they had closed the entrance of the tomb with a huge stone, the Sabbath was nearly upon them. Since all Sabbaths were reckoned from sunset to sunset, it is clear that the sun was about to set. Both Matthew and Mark testify that Jesus died at the 9th hour, or 3 p.m. Luke's account shows that they closed the entrance to the tomb with a huge stone just before sunset. Because the Passover is in the spring of the year, when the days are 12 hours in length, we know that the tomb was closed at about 6 p.m. Since he died about 3 p.m., Jesus was dead for approximately 75 hours before he was resurrected. The total length of time included 3 days from sunrise to sunset and 3 nights from sunset to sunrise, plus approximately 3 hours. Because he had been dead for more than 3 days, his death was legally established. When he appeared to his disciples 3 days after he had been placed in the tomb, the reality of his resurrection was beyond question. Additional statements of Jesus confirm that he was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. While Matthew and Mark record Jesus saying that he would be raised after 3 days, Luke records that he would be raised on the 3rd day. Luke wrote, "For he shall be delivered up to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and insulted and spit upon. And after scourging him, they shall kill him. But on the 3rd day he shall rise again." Luke 18, verses 32 and 33. The Apostle John records another statement by Jesus that he would be raised up in 3 days. Jesus made this statement when the Jews confronted him for casting the money exchangers out of the temple and driving out the animals they were selling. The Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, This temple was 46 years in building, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke concerning the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. John 2, verses 18 through 22. The phrase in 3 days contains the Greek preposition in. This Greek preposition, which is translated in John 2, verses 19 and 20, can also mean within. At first glance, the statements in 3 days and on the third day appear to conflict with the statement that he would be raised after 3 days. How is it possible for all three of Jesus' statements to be correct? When we understand Jesus' statements, we find that instead of being contradictory, they reveal the exact time that he was raised from the dead. Jesus made it clear that he would be raised after he had been dead for 3 days. The other statements, in 3 days and on the third day, do not include the total time that he was dead, but only the time that he was buried in the tomb. The gospel accounts show that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus closed the tomb just before sunset, 3 hours after Jesus died on the cross. Although he was in the tomb for exactly 3 days and 3 nights, he was dead for a longer period than that. Thus he rose from the dead after 3 days. The difference between this statement and the statements in 3 days and on the third day is that these two statements refer to his burial in the heart of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights. When one compares all of Jesus' statements, it is evident that they place specific limits on the time frame between his death and resurrection. Of itself, in 3 days could mean any time on the third day, even the first minute of the third day. On the third day could mean any time on the third day up to the last minute on the third day. But the statement that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights shows that 3 whole days and 3 whole nights would pass while he lay in the tomb. When all of Jesus' statements are taken into consideration, there is only one moment of time to which all can apply. Here is the explanation. The end of the third day is still on or in the third day. At the end of the third day, precisely at sunset, Jesus was resurrected. This was the only moment of time that could fulfill all of Jesus' prophecies concerning the time of his death, the length of time that he would be in the tomb, and the time of his resurrection. The Gospels record that Jesus died on the Passover day, Nisan 14, which fell on a Wednesday in 30 A.D. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus placed Jesus' body in the tomb and closed the entrance with a huge stone when the sun was setting at approximately 6 p.m., ending Nisan 14. Jesus was resurrected from the dead precisely 3 days and 3 nights later when the sun was setting at the end of the weekly Sabbath or Saturday, Nisan 17, 30 A.D. As he had prophesied, he remained in the tomb for 3 full days and 3 full nights. Jesus the Christ was raised from the dead at sunset on the weekly Sabbath, the 7th day of the week. He had already been resurrected when the sun rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. Please see the charts. Scriptural evidence of two Sabbaths during the 3 days and three nights. According to religious tradition, Jesus was crucified on a Friday. This religious tradition appears to be supported by the statement in John 19:31 that the day of his death was the preparation. Most have assumed that this statement refers to the Jews' preparation for the weekly Sabbath. They fail to realize that the Passover day on which Jesus died has always been a preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which immediately follows Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 6. The first day of this feast, Nisan 15, is observed as an annual holy day or high day. Like the Passover day, it may fall on different days of the week. Regardless of which day of the week it falls on, it is always observed as an annual Sabbath, and the day portion of the Passover is always used as a day of preparation. It is erroneous to interpret the preparation in John 19:31 as evidence that the day of the crucifixion was a Friday. The mistaken belief in a Friday crucifixion is based on the assumption that there was only one Sabbath during the crucifixion week. However, the scriptures clearly reveal that during that week there were two Sabbaths. The first Sabbath was an annual holy day, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second Sabbath was the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Consequently, during the week of Jesus' crucifixion, there were two preparation days. The day portion of Nisan 14, the Passover day, was the preparation day for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 15th, which was an annual Sabbath. The following day, the 16th, which was a Friday, was the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath. When the Gospel of John is examined, it is evident that the Sabbath immediately following the day Jesus died was an annual Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, so that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, because it was a preparation day, for that Sabbath was a high day, John 19, verse 31. The term high day was never used to refer to the weekly Sabbath, but only to annual Sabbaths. John's use of this term makes it clear that the Sabbath that was about to begin was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Nisan 15. Mark's account makes reference to the coming of sunset, which would bring the end of the preparation and the beginning of the annual Sabbath or high day. Now evening was coming, and since it was a preparation, that is, the day before a Sabbath, Mark 15, verse 42. As the Gospel of Luke shows, this Sabbath was about to begin when Jesus was put into the tomb. Now it was a preparation day, and a Sabbath was coming on. And the women also, who had come with him from Galilee, followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Luke 23, verses 54 and 55. The Gospels record the events that followed Jesus' burial. On Nisan 15, the day after the crucifixion, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate to request that guards be assigned to watch Jesus' tomb. Because they were afraid that the disciples would come and steal away his body, they did not hesitate to take care of their business on the holy day, Matthew 27:62-66. While the priests and Pharisees went to Pilate, the women who followed Jesus were observing the annual Sabbath as commanded by God. They could not buy spices on that day because all the businesses were closed in observance of the command to rest, Leviticus 23:6-7. After the end of that Sabbath, or high day, they bought spices and Aramaic oils to anoint Jesus. Mark relates this event. Now when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought Aramaic oils so that they might come and anoint him, Mark 16:1. It is quite evident that the women could not have purchased the spices until after the high day or annual Sabbath had ended. The high day began when the Passover day, Nisan 14, ended at sunset. The observance of the high day, Nisan 15, lasted until the following sunset, which began Nisan 16. The women bought the spices when the Sabbath had passed and prepared them on the same day. When they had finished, they observed a second Sabbath. And they returned to the city and prepared spices and ointments, then rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment, Luke 23:56. The gospel records concerning the buying and preparation of spices by the women clearly reveal the observance of two Sabbaths during the crucifixion week. Two women view the tomb late on the weekly Sabbath. Before the weekly Sabbath came to an end, Matthew records that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to observe the tomb. Now late on the Sabbath, as the first day of the weeks was drawing near, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to observe the sepulchre, Matthew 28:1. Because it was still the Sabbath day, the women did not come to anoint his body with the spices they had prepared. Perhaps they went to observe the tomb because they remembered Jesus' words that after 3 days and three nights in the grave, he would rise from the dead. After the two women viewed the tomb and saw that the stone covering the entrance was still in place, with the soldiers standing guard, they returned home for the night. The next morning, as they were coming back to the tomb, they were wondering who might roll back the stone so that they could anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the weeks, at the rising of the sun, they were coming to the tomb, and they were asking themselves, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" Mark 16:2-3. But when the women arrived, they found that the stone had already been removed and the tomb was empty. The 3 days and three nights had ended at sunset on the weekly Sabbath, and Jesus had risen from the dead. For further discussion of the third day, see Appendix B. See chart for the 3 days and three nights in the tomb and the resurrection after 3 days and three nights. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Nisan 15, Thursday, April 6, 30 AD. Section 51. On the holy day, guards are placed at the tomb. Matthew 27. Now on the next day, which followed the preparation day, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was living, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the sepulchre be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away." and say to the people, He is risen from the dead, and the last deception shall be worse than the first. Then Pilate said to them, You have a guard. Go, make it as secure as you know how. And they went and made the sepulchre secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. The weekly Sabbath, Nisan 17, Saturday, April 8, 30 A.D., Section 52. The women rest on the weekly Sabbath, Luke 23. And they returned to the city and prepared spices and ointments, and then rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Section 53. Toward the end of the weekly Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and Mary go to observe the tomb. Matthew 28. Now late on the Sabbath, as the first day of the weeks was drawing near, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to observe the sepulchre.